Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Brother T. Glad to be back with you as your host, and I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning.
You look beautiful this morning.
I thank you. I'm glad you think so.
I am too. We're going to be discussing Lesson 36 today in A Course in Miracles workbook, and thank you for joining us here on the Best Hour episode on blogtalkradio.com. We appreciate you being here. You can do a search for the Best Hour and find us that way, or you can also join us at our spiritual community website. You can join our email list there for the inner circle, and also all of the workbook lessons that we're doing are currently posted on our website as well. That's truethought.org. True Thought Spiritual Community is truethought.org. Lesson 36, My Holiness Envelops Everything I See. Before we begin, let's join together for a brief moment of silence. Today's idea extends the idea for yesterday from the perceiver to the perceived. You are holy because your mind is part of God's. And because you are holy, your sight must be holy as well. Sinless, quote unquote, means without sin. You cannot be without sin a little. You are sinless or not. If your mind is part of God's, you must be sinless, or a part of his mind would be sinful. Your sight is related to his holiness, not to your ego, and therefore not to your body.
4 3-5 minute practice periods are required for today. Try to distribute them fairly evenly and make the shorter applications frequently to protect your protection throughout the day. The longer practice periods should take this form.
First, close your eyes and repeat the idea for today several times slowly. Then open your eyes and look quite slowly about you, applying the idea specifically to whatever you note in your casual survey. Say, for example, my holiness envelops that rug. My holiness envelops that wall. My holiness envelops these fingers. My holiness envelops that chair. My holiness envelops that body. My holiness envelops this pen.
Several times during these practice periods, close your eyes and repeat the idea to yourself. Then open your eyes and continue as before.
For the shorter exercise periods, close your eyes and repeat the idea. Look about you as you repeat it again, and conclude with one more repetition with your eyes closed. All applications should, of course, be made quite slowly, as effortlessly and unhurriedly as possible. My holiness envelops everything I see, and so it is. Let's join together again now for a brief moment of silence. So today in this exercise, we're moving away from the mind of ego, the thought system of fear. We're recognizing that there is another voice within us. There is another aspect of our mind, that we are a part of that mind, that we are contained within the mind of God, that we are an idea within the mind of God. And such logic and such reason is immutable. If God is perfect and we are a part of the mind of God, an idea in the mind of God, we could not possibly be sinful. We could not truly make error or mistakes or anything like that. And if there were such a thing as punishment, and God would punish me for doing something that would be considered a sin, then God would be punishing herself. I mean, it's ridiculous. You see how circuitous. The only way that we could be guilty and God could be perfect and we could be sinful is if we are not a part of God. We would be separate. And there would be two-ness instead of oneness.
And that's the dream.
And that's the only dream. That's the only way to experience that would be in a dream, in an illusory dream. Mm-hmm. just like the one I had last night. I found myself with a group of men, and we were working in this place where, you know, and I remember that I was doing some mechanical work, and we were moving things around, and I, for whatever reason, was seemed to be leading the group. It was like four guys. And then we got this work done, and then we were going to go take a road trip or something, get in the car and go somewhere. And it was very vivid. It was very real, and it was all made up. None of it was real. Not one bit. Now, while I was experiencing it, I was just living my life and hanging out and having conversation with these people as if I knew them and certainly was working with them. And the area that I was in was familiar. It seemed to be somewhat familiar. But looking at the dream now, as much as I can remember it, I have no idea where that was, right? Or who those people were. But I was safe at home in bed. That was just a dream. And dreams have no effect. Those were events. I was giving them meaning, but they were all neutral. They had no meaning whatsoever because it was illusion. It was a movie in my mind, a movie in the mind of this child of God can certainly appear real, no doubt. And so in this lesson, we're moving from the perceiver to the perceived. If we look at what is perceived, that's us too. We're seeing ourselves in this lesson as the perceived. We are perceiving ourselves. We're only seeing ourselves because we are all a part of this one mind. Now moving from two-ness in our perception to oneness. Now we can't make that leap with the mind of two-ness, the mind of separation. We can only discover that and begin to experience that by setting that mind aside, stepping back away from the thinking of the ego mind and turning within and joining there, no longer separated, but returning, remembering, re-member, rejoining with our true self. And A Course in Miracles, we can call that the Holy Spirit, but it is nothing more than our right mind. Nothing more than our right mind. And that mind is holy because it is not and does not perceive itself as changed from what God created it to be. It knows itself as an extension of God. It knows itself as this individuation, this idea of love that God has created us to be. It is, in fact, our true self. We could call it the Christ self, the Christ mind. And seeing and joining with that mind, we see we have a new vision and we begin to see the world anew. My holiness envelops everything I see because everything I see is a part of me.
Beautiful. So everything is about a returning home to our divine identity. You know, yesterday's lesson that I am holy because I am a part of God. And I love this idea. There's always a little bit of humor, you know, or there is humor found in this text, absolutely, believe it or not. And
absolutely.
I just like, you know, think you cannot be a little, you cannot be without sin a little, you know, it's kind of an all or nothing.
You're pregnant
proposition,
or not.
And that's exactly what I was thinking. I kind of giggled. You are sinless or not. You are pregnant or not. You are sinless or not. If your mind is a part of God's, you must be sinless, or a part of God's mind would be sinful. And so, you know, this is the, I think I mentioned this the other day in the text where it says that, you know, salvation actually requires that we begin to behold our sinlessness. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that with that mind of two-ness, the dreaming mind. But the aspect of my mind that is already awakened and aware, that Christ aspect of my mind, that mind that, you know, is the only mind. You know, I'm making it sound as if in reality there are two, but it's the true mind. It's the true self, the true identity, that I am a part of that mind and I am innocence itself. I am sinless. I am holy. And in this holiness, how could I see anything other than holiness? There's a biblical phrase that says, you know, God cannot behold inequity. God knows nothing of sin. God knows nothing of inequity. God knows nothing truly of, you know, death or sickness or any of the things that in this illusory mind that in the world that we have made, you know, that is not, since it's not reality, it is not a part of the mind of God, you know? And so it is in this holy sight that then I can look out and behold and see everything as holy. And that the my holiness, this really places us, as we'll come to learn, in the crusade of being about salvation for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins with allowing our holiness to be what leads, to be our primary focus, to utilize a positive projection according to the Holy Spirit. You know, so in previous lessons, we thought of things and we thought, oh my gosh, you know, my the way I see things, I don't experience it alone. Well, likewise, when we see from our holiness, when we see from our divine nature, we don't see that alone either. That we then see the interconnectedness, the web of relationship, that holiness just extends from us, enveloping everything that we see, because it is all holy. And you mentioned the song, Everything is Holy Now. So this is a lovely lesson in my remembrance of, you know, practicing this lesson. There's a warmth to this lesson. It really places us, helps to place us at what biblically is said, you know, at the right hand of the Father, Mother presence, you know.
No, I think it's reasonable that anyone that's listening to our conversation most likely has seen the movie The Wizard of Oz, right? And you mentioned, you know, this is about returning home. And Dorothy returned home, but did she ever leave? No. We return home every day when we wake up from a dream. So the returning is really... And that's why I think it's applicably, you know, appropriately called awakening, because we really haven't gone anywhere. You know, we are where God would have us to be, which is an idea in the mind of God. We're having a dream, and Jesus refers to it, you know, your discussion, you know, God's not seeing any of that. You know, why would God allow this to happen or that to happen? And Jesus simply said, God chooses not to dream. And the Holy Spirit is the bridge between that awakened self, the self that is at home and knows it's where it is, if you will, the all of what we are in an idea in the mind of God, an idea of love, and the sleeping self. And so the Holy Spirit is like the bridge between the two. It has not lost sight like we have and believes itself to be separate from God. And it has not separated itself from us. And so it holds our divinity in trust while we play with the ego, as Jesus said. And he said, you know, God chooses not to dream. So don't blame God. God's not in the construct of the dream. Just like when my children were sleeping when they were young, I didn't know what they were dreaming. And if they had a nightmare, I couldn't go fix the nightmare. The only thing I could do was wake them up, tap them and say, hey, wake up. And that's what this book is. It's that gentle tap on the shoulder, says, wake up. You've not left home. You're always and will always, forever and ever, amen, be where God would have you be. Mm. My holiness envelops everything I see. It must be because we're holy. Absolutely. Thank you, Mighty Companion, for hanging out with us today. Bless you. We love you. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send